Happy Mother's Day. I'm sure you've heard it once or twice today already, but it ought to be said, and I know it ought to be said from the pulpit because I have been reminded of it. I was originally scheduling someone else to preach today because when I go and set out the calendar, the church calendar doesn't exactly say, oh, this is Mother's Day. And somebody called me up and they're like, you know you're not preaching Mother's Day, right? Yeah. That's a bad thing. Oh, okay. Well, okay, so what am I going to say? Because, you know, the readings don't exactly go along with that. There's no, you know, great motherly passages or anything like that. So how do we take a regular feast day in the church and a regular feast day at Hallmark and join them together? I do not have the evidence of this, but I'm pretty sure that Mother's Day was created by a greeting card company. For all of its merit and all of its value, and we should certainly honor and celebrate mothers, but still, I'm pretty sure it comes from Hallmark, or at least one of their competitors that they have since put out of business. Isn't that the way of things? Start off nice, and the corporate devils take over. But in any case, I opened up the scriptures, and I started to look at it, and at first glance, man, this is a complicated passage. And I looked at it again and said, but I don't have to get into all of that, because all I really need to do is look at the first few words. Let not your hearts be troubled. Let not your hearts be troubled. And I am convinced that this is not only a word for mothers, but this is a word for the church. Amen. Let not your hearts be troubled. Realize that this passage comes from the Last Supper. This passage comes from the time when Jesus has made the long trek down from Caesarea Philippi and the regions in the north and Galilee down back to Judea. And along that way, he has three times said, hey, when we get to Jerusalem, I am going to be handed over to wicked people and they will kill me. And I will rise again on the third day. And a week prior, when they had made the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, he goes into the temple. And at a point in that journey, he says, by the way, one last time, the hour is coming when I will be handed over to sinful men, and they will persecute me, they will kill me, but I will rise again on the third day. Amen. And then we get to the Last Supper, we get to the Passover, and Jesus is celebrating the Passover, and the first thing he does is he washes the feet of the apostles, and then he says, by the way, I'm going to be handed over to the scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees, and they will beat me and kill me and crucify me, but I will be back on the third day. Amen. And then he says, and one of you will betray me. One of my closest friends will betray me. Which one? The one to whom I dip this bread and give it to him. And he gives it to Judas, and Judas gets up and leaves. You can imagine that at this point in time, the apostles were confused and disturbed and feeling very uncertain about their future. And to them, at that moment, Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me also. And we could go on and talk about how he says what heaven's like and he's going to heaven and how it's a good thing. But I think the most important thing to do right now is give a little bit of a pep talk. Because we talk about the tip of the spear and how the leaders in the church bear the brunt of the assault of the enemy. And that's true, almost. Because what's true is the mothers bear that brunt more than anyone else. Because they're the ones who carry everyone's burdens. Everyone goes to mom for their problems, for their answers. Every day, my wife gets a million questions. Where are my shoes? What can I have for lunch? 5 minutes later, what else can I have for lunch? I don't like that. What else can I have? Where are my shoes? Where are my pants? Where's the video game? Why won't this charge? Over and over and over. Can I have a popsicle? Over and over and over again. You know what questions I get? Where's mom? It's mothers who bear the brunt of all of the weight. Now, this is a really fun, pleasant example, but when things are going wrong, dads compartmentalize. They deal with it at their little time when they're alone by themselves, and they put it away in a little box, they tape it up, they pull the curtain over it, and they don't deal with it until something else comes back and they have to deal with it again, and then they put it away and they don't deal with it anymore. Moms aren't like that. Whatever's going on with moms is continually before them, whatever it may be. And so it's very easy for moms to get burdened. It's very easy for moms to get weighed down with everybody's issues. Not just their own issues, but their kids' issues, their grandkids' issues, their coworkers' issues, their husband's issues, if he happens to have any. And what was funny there? Exactly. So, little pep talk for moms. They get burdened down with worry. Worry about what's going to happen to their kids, worry about what's going to happen to their house, worry about what's going to happen to the grandkids, to their husbands, to their car. They get burdened down with worry. And to this, Jesus says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Amen. Are you not more valuable than they? Amen. Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that Solomon in all his glory was not clothed as one like these. Amen. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Amen. Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after these things the Gentiles seek. But your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. This is Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. It's a passage I go back to regularly. Do not worry about these things. Are you not more valuable to God than lilies and birds? St. Luke says, consider the ravens. Consider the pigeons. Sky rats. Aren't you more valuable than these? Of course you are. God takes care of these. Will he not more so take care of you because he loves you? What else? we end up getting so burdened by the things that are going on in our life that we forget the tremendous blessings that we have. Amen. We forget that God has given us so much. He's entrusted so much to us. He cares for us so much that he pours out goodness on us. And when we worry, St. Paul tells us, be anxious for nothing. Anybody have any anxiety? Anybody worried about something? Stay up late thinking about it? Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And what follows that passage from Philippians? And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, Amen. Will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ.
Yes, it does. Amen.
So how is it that we get that peace of God, which passes all understanding? By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. By going to Him. By laying our burdens before Him.
Amen.
Saying, this is what I have an issue with. This is someone who needs healing. This is someone who needs to know you more. This is someone who needs a life-changing experience and encounter with you. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for financial blessing, for provision, for the redemption of this person, that person, this child. I thank you for that, because it is with prayer and supplication that we're to make our requests known to God, and then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of Him. So with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, that's how we get that peace that passes all understanding. And we trust in the Lord.
Oh, yes. Hallelujah.
You know how many passages there are where it talks about trusting in the Lord?
Oh, yes.
It's practically too many to count. One of my favorites is from Psalm 22, where it says, he trusted in the Lord, let him rescue him. This is thrown at Christ on the cross. And that's a pretty powerful thing to consider. They taunted him. He trusted in the Lord. Let him see if he rescues him. See him get down from the cross. But as dark as that moment was, as horrific as that moment was, and consider how horrific it was for Jesus' mother. Because she was at the cross. She had seen him whipped and beaten and bloodied and abused. And now nailed to a cross. She was watching his multi-hour execution.
Amen.
Consider the agony that she was going through. But consider what happened 3 days later.
Amen.
Because his death, as horrific as it was, means life for all of us.
Amen.
We can see in Genesis chapter 50, we can see Joseph at the end of an incredible adventure that began with a dream, had him thrown into slavery and prison, nearly killed. We can see that at the end of that, he is the second most powerful man in all of Egypt.
Amen.
And when he confronts his brothers for all that they've done, he says to them, but as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about, as this day is, to save many people. On the cross, all that agony, man and the devil meant for evil, and God meant for good. So whatever's going on with your life, don't be burdened down by it. Realize, as we head into graduation season, we get to that oft-quoted graduation scripture, "I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to bless you and prosper you." This is the word of the Lord for us. When things aren't going well, when we think about this burden that we carry and that burden that we carry, when we think about this anxiety and how, God, the plan isn't going like I thought it would. God's plans are better than our plans. And what man intends for evil, God intends for good. We had a fusion last night, and I was so blessed and so amused to hear words that Father David has spoken for years, repeated by his son. Kevin stood up in front of everybody and said the same thing that his father had said for years. But now he said it not as repeating his father, he said it as owning it in his own life. He talked about how if we had known from the start what we were going to do, we never would have done it. Father David said that for years. And Kevin had gotten to a place where he was like, I not only remember what my father said, but I understand it and I own it. If we would have known what this really entailed, there's no way we would have done it. Which explains why God doesn't tell us the whole story. We get to Proverbs, and we hear, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. We don't have to know every step of the journey. What we have to know is that the journey has been laid out by God and that He's there with us every step we go. We don't have to sit there and say, Lord, I don't know what's coming next, because God does know. God knows what's coming next. He knows all of the next steps. He knows all of everyone's next steps. And the plans that He has are to bless us and prosper us. And He will never leave us or forsake us. And we can look at my favorite psalm, Psalm 46. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Amen. Even though the earth be moved, even though the house be foreclosed upon and the car be repossessed and the children go off so far into the wilderness that you don't even know where they are. And though the mountains be carried into the midst of the seas and its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of our God, a holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in her midst. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come now, behold the works of the Lord, for he has made desolation in the earth. He makes wars to cease in the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. And now we get to my favorite passage, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. When everything is crazy, when everything is out of control, when everything is completely off the rails, amen, be still. Amen. Know that I am God. Amen. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. I will be exalted in your homes. I will be exalted in your workplace. I will be exalted in your schools. I will be exalted in your church. Be still and know that I am God. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Now, this is one of those things where we always have to be mindful of our takeaway. Father Ed always reminds us, you got to give them something to go home with. You can't just lecture them. It's the difference between a teaching and a sermon. A teaching informs. A sermon informs and gives a way to change one's life. So if I ended it here, this was pretty much a lecture about not worrying, which is like telling someone who's scared, don't be afraid. It's really not all that helpful, thank you very much. So what do we do? How is it that we can hear God's words, know these things are true, and yet still be so worried about them and be anxious about them? And you can talk and talk and talk, and there's great examples from horror movies of people who are walking through the dark going, I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid. And they typically say that right until they get eaten. But God tells us, let not your hearts be troubled. Amen. Don't be afraid. Don't be anxious. Amen. Don't worry. Believe in me. Believe in God. Amen. And we get this passage that goes along with it from 1 Peter. And it's that passage that gives us a key, that gives us more than just don't be afraid. In verse 9 of chapter 2, he says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen. You who were once not a people, but now are a people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Hallelujah. He calls us his chosen generation, Hallelujah. His royal priesthood. This is who we are. We all have a priestly ministry.
Yes.
And that's not just the guys in the funny clothes taking bread and wine.
Amen.
And I've said this before, and it's so, so vital that I don't have any problem saying it again.
Amen.
Just as the priests take the bread and the wine and they lift it up before the Eucharist begins. And they pray, Lord, take this wine, take this bread, and make it your blood, make it your body.
Amen.
And something miraculous happens to that bread and that wine. The Spirit descends upon it, and it's now a new creation.
Amen.
It may look like the bread and the wine, but it is the body and blood of Jesus. And we do that at the very beginning before anything else happens. We don't even say it out loud so that everyone can hear it. But we offer these gifts up to the Lord. And then we say, the Lord be with you and with your spirit. Lift up your hearts. Lift up your hearts. We're lifting up bread and wine.
Amen.
We're praying that God change these gifts into his miraculous body. And we call upon you to lift up not a cup and a plate, not bread and wine, but your hearts. And everything that is in them, including your worry, your anxiety, your fear, your doubts. That's the amazing thing. We give him absolute garbage, and he gives us his very being. He gives us his body and blood. So while we have worry and fear and doubt, we don't have to carry it out of this room because we can lay it at the altar. We're called to lift up the bread and the wine. We're all called to give him our hearts. Amen. With all the love and all the care and compassion that doesn't add up to his love and concern and compassion, but also to lay our hearts with their fear, their worry, their anxiety. This is how we fulfill his words of letting not our hearts be troubled, because we give him our heart. We thank him. Remember how I said that with thanksgiving, he will keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge of him, and the peace that passes all understanding will guard your heart? This is the great thanksgiving. Eucharist means great thanksgiving. So with prayers and supplications, when we call to mind the people that are on our hearts, then we participate in the great thanksgiving, and that peace which passes all understanding keeps us and guards us. Is this a magic wand that we wave over everything and everything is all better? Absolutely not. But this is our daily bread. This is what he gives us for the journey. That whatever comes our way, we know that he is with us and he has provided for us his own self. Amen. And as we live out this call to be a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, a holy nation, we participate in that priesthood where we give ourselves to him. And just like he takes bread and wine and turns it into his body and blood, he takes our hearts and fills us with his power, his compassion, his glory, that we can triumph, that we can hear his words where he says that we have Christ in us, amen, the hope of glory. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, his incarnation, his presence as God yet man, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Mothers are burdened with many, many worries, many concerns, many issues over many different things. But we all carry burdens, and we can carry them right to the altar. We can take them to him with prayer and supplication. We can participate in the great thanksgiving, and we can fulfill our priestly duty and offer up our hearts. And he gives us himself daily bread for the journey which he's called us, which is a plan to bless us and not do us harm. And that is how we can get to a point where we let not our hearts be troubled. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.